Blog Talk Radio.
To go for it. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 1.5 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGan. Make sure you follow Twitter, GoForItGan. Follow me. Got a good one for you tonight. Expected to be joined by the newest member of the Oakland Raiders, Mr. DeMarcus Van Dyke. Also expected to be joined by, and DeMarcus actually is going to talk about interesting organization, and is also going to talk about the thrill of being drafted. And the organization that DeMarcus is going to talk about is MOCA, Mothers of College Athletes, and we're going to ask DeMarcus about that organization. And it sounds like a very interesting organization, but we're going to get DeMarcus's take on that organization, the thrill of being drafted, and just talk all things football with DeMarcus Van Dyke. Also, Basketball Wives 3-star Mika Claxton will be stopping on by. She's going to talk about the show, The Basketball Wives, and, you know, give her take on what's going on. Mika, in that first episode, kind of came off as a troublemaker, came off as a little bit of a troublemaker in that first episode, but we're going to get her take on that show, and that should be very, 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 very interesting. And also, last, we're going to be joined by former NFL star, Mr. Isaac Keys, and we all remember Isaac Keys from The Ultimate Merger, which aired on TV1 last year, and Isaac Keys will stop on by, and it's going to be a pleasure talking to him as well. And, of course, we're going to be talking to you as well, and make sure you call on 646-727-3070. I wanted to start with the NBA Finals real quickly now, and last night, interesting NBA Finals, Game 4, Dirk Nowitzki, a la Michael Jordan, suffering from the flu, but somehow, some way, he got it through, and he led the Mavericks to victory last night. I mean, that big layup down the stretch with the Mavs up 1, Dirk with that big layup made 84-81, and then the Magic ultimately took it from there. The Mavs took it from there. But Dirk Nowitzki, a great performance, not a great performance, but a gutty, gritty performance last night. You heard the comparisons to Michael Jordan. Let's stop that talk right now. Dirk did not have the same type of game that Michael Jordan had. I mean, Michael Jordan just willed his way and willed that Bulls team to victory. Dirk did not do that. He got a lot of help last night, specifically from his bench and the bench of the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, they did a great job. DeShawn Stevenson, he was put on the bench. They inserted J.J. Barea, but DeShawn Stevenson off the bench, hitting the three-pointers, 3-for-3 from downtown. And so he scored 11 points, and he actually outscored LeBron James. Say it ain't so. He outscored LeBron James. LeBron James had 8 points last night. 8 points. 3-for-11 from the field. 8 points. Not a great performance by LeBron James. But the series is tied at 2. And guess what? There's a big Game 5 Thursday night. And if whoever takes that game five is in complete control right now of that series. Granted, if Dallas wins their 3-2, they still have to go to Miami, so Miami still has two more home games. If the Heat win, they're in great position because they have the final two games at their gym. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens during these next two games. But, again, this is going to be a big one, game five, tomorrow night, Thursday and tomorrow night. Big game, big game, big basketball game tomorrow. And I'm expecting, and I said this, I expect the Dallas Mavericks to win this series. And I'm expecting the Dallas Mavericks to win this game tomorrow and ultimately finish this thing off on South Beach. They're going to take their talents to South Beach, and they're going to finish this thing off. That's the way I see this series playing out from this point on. But again, Dirk Nowitzki, I mean, if you're the Heat, you got to be kicking yourself in a lot of ways because you had an ailing Dirk Nowitzki. You had a Dirk Nowitzki who was primed to lose. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki did not have a Dirk Nowitzki type of game. But guess what? In the fourth quarter, Dirk did what Dirk has done throughout these playoffs and throughout this season. Dirk Nowitzki did his thing. He did his thing, and that's what he's been doing throughout these whole playoffs and throughout this whole year, quite frankly. And give Dirk Nowitzki a lot of credit. Give the Dallas Mavericks a lot of credit because they fought back and they fought hard. Again, Dirk Nowitzki, 21 points last night. But, again, not a great performance by Dirk Nowitzki. Not a great performance at all, but it was a gritty, gutty performance. And ultimately, the Dallas Mavericks win the ball game. But I want to go back to LeBron James last night. 3-4-11, 8 points. Deshaun Stevenson said he checked out. Other people are talking. You hear a lot of people saying that he checked out. You know, that's a tough accusation to accuse somebody of essentially quitting. I mean, game five last year, game six, I believe, last year against the Boston Celtics, it looked like he quit. But I can't say definitively that he quit. It looked like he quit, but I'm not going to call the man a quitter. But it looked like he quit last year. This year, in this game, I thought it was a byproduct of Dwayne Wade going well, who had 32 points last night. Chris Bosh also going well with 24 points. I mean, a lot of those guys were going well. So in a lot of ways, they were going well, playing good basketball. So LeBron James kind of took a back seat last night, and a lot of people criticized him. And let's be honest, LeBron James did not make the comparison to Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen did. LeBron James did not do that. Scottie Pippen did that. So let's be clear about that. Scottie Pippen made that comparison, not LeBron James. He didn't make the comparison. He didn't say he was Michael Jordan. He didn't say he was better than Michael Jordan. He didn't make the comparison. So let's be clear about that. He's not Michael Jordan just yet. Could he be Michael Jordan? He has the talent, has the ability, has all the talent, all the ability to be Michael Jordan. But it takes a lot to be Michael Jordan. Not anybody can be, and not anybody and everybody can be Michael Jordan. That's why he's Michael Jordan, and that's why he's special. We're going to bring in now one of the newest members of the Oakland Raiders, Mr. DeMarcus Van Dyke. DeMarcus, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well. DeMarcus, you're a Miami guy. You're from Miami. You been watching these NBA finals?
I've been watching them. You know, I'm a Heat fan, so, you know, I'm going for the Heat.
So you think they're going to get it done?
I think so. I think we'll win the next two games, one up there and one back in game six. So we'll finish it out down in Miami.
And we'll see what happens. It's been definitely a great series. Now, DeMarcus, you just were drafted by the Oakland Raiders, and you stepped on the scene in the NFL Combine, man. You ran a blazing 4.2840. I mean, you're a track guy, so you're a fast guy, no doubt about it. The Combine is a great opportunity for anybody to improve their draft stock. Was that your mindset going into that Combine?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's everybody's mindset going to the Combine to improve their draft stock. But I knew what I had to do. I knew I was kind of in that range again, like the seventh round to get undrafted. So I knew I had to prove myself at the Combine with the drills and with my speed and just showing that I'm a football player. So I did exactly that, and it helped me out a lot.
And speaking of the Combine, and speaking of the whole draft process, that's got to be a pretty hard thing for a player to go through. I mean, you're being dissected by everybody pretty much. How tough was that for you?
It was something I wasn't used to. It was like everywhere you go, you're on eggshells because you got a coach here, you got a general manager here, you got a head coach here. So you got to just be on your P's and Q's. But the whole experience, it was real good. It was a blessing to be up there with great guys, guys like Cam Newton, Marcel Darius, Von Miller. So it was a blessing. I was really happy to be up there.
And DeMarcus, before the draft, you worked out with Hall of Fame defensive back Rod Woodson. How much did Rod Woodson help you?
Oh, he helped a lot, man. When he came to work me out, he told me like new point, like little pointers on how to stick receivers when you're playing off and when you're present. So I'm glad that he's my coach and I can learn from a Hall of Famer who was a Pro Bowl at punt returner, kick returner, I mean, punt returner, cornerback, and safety. So I'm in good hands.
And you definitely are in good hands with Rod Woodson. And DeMarcus, like you said, there was talk that you may be a seventh-round draft pick. Ultimately, you were picked in the third round by the Oakland Raiders. Some say you were a little higher than you should. And hearing that type of talk, does that put a little chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, of course it will, because, you know, you got to prove everybody wrong. But, yeah, I know I had some guys saying I was good fit in third. You know, you had some guys saying I was drafted, but – you know, you're going to have your naysayers, so you got to just go out there and work hard at what you do.
Right. And did you have any indication at any point, maybe a couple days before the draft, that the Raiders were serious about drafting you?
Not really. I kind of watching, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, they mock draft, and they had me going to Seattle in the second round. So I was kind of thinking Seattle, but, you know, everybody say Oakland take the fastest guy in the combine every year, so – I was getting joked about that, but that's about it.
And speaking of Mel Kiper and all the different draft boards, were you watching the draft boards very closely throughout this whole process?
Not really. I was just training on working out down here in Miami, just trying to just grind hard, just help my stock out. That's about it.
We're talking to DeMarcus Van Dyke, newest member of the Oakland Raiders, and DeMarcus. On draft day, when you heard your name being called, talk about what was going through your head and talk about how it felt.
It felt, man, like a relief, like a dream come true. You know, growing up, you always wanted to get drafted, hear your name called, and I had the opportunity to do that. So when I heard my name called, I was so excited, and I was just like, I kind of had like tears of joy, you know.
Right. And I saw one interview with you. You talked about possibly buying a house for your mother and all those type of things. DeMarcus, I mean, I could use a house too. Can you hook a brother up?
Yeah, I'll hook you up, man.
Appreciate it. What do you think you need to do on the pro level now to kind of take that next step?
I'll probably just say get more interceptions. You know, in college I had a lot of opportunities to get interceptions, but I didn't come down with it. So I'll probably say that, and that's about it.
And we look at it now, DeMarcus, we're on day 85 of this NFL lockout. Has the lockout affected your preparation at all?
Not really, man. You know, you got to stay on your grind. You never know when that time will be called, you hear your name called, and the lockout will be over. So you got to stay on your grind, you'll be all right.
And have you been in touch with any of your Raider teammates?
Actually, we went up like 2 weeks ago, Richard Seymour and Marcel Reed. They got everybody up to Atlanta, and we did like a little workout section up there. So, and where everybody was at up there in Atlanta, I kind of met the guys like Jeremy Ware, Walter McFadden, Richard Seymour, guys like that.
And going into the season, what are your goals going into this NFL season?
I'll just help my team win as many games as possible, you know. I'm not trying to go in and protect somebody. Stuff my issue. I'm just trying to go in there and win games for my team in any way I can. The special teams, or kickoff, you know, special team defense, holding the ball, be a long snapper, anything. Just help my team win games.
And have you been able to be in touch with the coaches at all during this time?
Not at all, man. Not at all. Because the whole, after the lockout, after I got drafted, I went up to Oakland for the media day, and that's about it. I can talk to the coaches because the lockout went back on, so no coaches been talking to me since.
So you weren't able during that short time period to kind of get a chance to talk to any of the coaches?
Oh, yeah, I talked to Coach Woodson. He just told me, you know, just to stay on my grind, and hopefully the lockout will be over with shortly, but you see how long it's day 85, like you said, so you got to just keep working.
We're talking to DeMarcus Van Dyke, cornerback for the Oakland Raiders. And DeMarcus, your mother is a part of what I think is a great organization. It's called MOCA. It stands for Mothers of College Athletes. Tell us a little bit about it.
MOCA is a great foundation that Ms. Robin Gunn started up. It's really mainly to help the mothers of college athletes, like with the transition from going from high school to college and now from college to the NFL, you know, because they're dealing with the agents and stuff like that. So MOCA, like Ms. Robin Gunn, she's doing a good job with teaching the mothers to, like, how to deal with agents, how to deal with financial advice and stuff like that.
And before this MOCA organization, how much did you really know about the NCAA bylaws and agents and all that other stuff?
You know, because Randy Shannon always told us about the NCAA violation, what not to do and what to do. So I kind of had I won't say a head start, but I kind of knew what they expect when anybody came and tried to offer us up. Because Shannon always told us not to take nothing from anybody, and what we did at Miami.
And make sure you go to the website, mocamoms.org. That's MOCAMOMS.org. Make sure you check it out. Sounds like a great organization. And it sounds like an interesting organization. It's something that's very long overdue in my mind.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, it started right now, and it's going good.
And DeMarcus, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better? You ready to play, sir? I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better.
I'm ready for it, man. Let me know.
Who's faster, Usain Bolt or DeMarcus Van Dyke?
Ah, Usain Bolt, hands down, man. I can't even play like that, man. I can't even play like that.
4.28 40, you can't handle Bolt?
4.28 40, 9.7 and 100-yard dash. Who you go with?
There you go. Better college, Florida State or Miami?
That's an easy question, man. Miami all day, hands down. Hands down.
Better NBA player, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Wow. I got to go with MJ, man, you know. MJ, he's a game changer. Not saying LeBron, not a game changer, but MJ got his range right now.
And lastly, better NFL team, the Oakland Raiders or the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders.
Again, make sure you check out MOCA, mocamoms.org. That's MOCAMOMS.org. Make sure you check it out. DeMarcus, your mother's a part of it. And, I think this is a long overdue organization, especially with you got the Reggie Bush situation, all these different situations popping up now. And you got to get educated, and I think this is great.
You're right. I will. So I'm glad that MOCA Mom thought it, and we'll be all right.
DeMarcus, thank you for stopping by. It was greatly appreciated. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in this NFL season, man, and keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you, man.
Take care.
All right.
DeMarcus Van Dyke, newest member of the Oakland Raiders. And again, DeMarcus's mother is a part of a great organization, MOCA, great organization, MOCA Mothers of College Athletes. And again, this organization is educating the moms, the athletes, and everybody about the process of agents and everything dealing with the NCAA, because there's a lot of rules with the NCAA, some rules that are very hard to understand. So this is a great organization. Again, make sure you check it out, mocamoms.org. Check it out. Great organization, and those guys are doing some great things down there. So make sure you support it. Make sure you check it out. And DeMarcus Van Dyke, nothing but the best of luck in his upcoming 2011 season. I want to go back to the NBA Finals now, and I want to go back to this LeBron James thing. And again, like I was saying before, with LeBron James, LeBron James did not say he was better than Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen said that, and Scottie Pippen didn't say LeBron James was better than Michael Jordan. Now, Scottie Pippen said, when it's all said and done, LeBron James has the ability to be better than Michael Jordan. And LeBron, and when he said that, I thought about those comments, and I said to myself, he may not be way off there. I mean, LeBron James is a better passer, was a better passer, and is a better passer than Michael Jordan. LeBron James cannot score like Michael Jordan, but LeBron James is picking up his defense. LeBron James is defending now, folks. The guy is defending. He definitely is defending right now. And that's what Michael Jordan did. LeBron James, again, he can't score like Jordan. And in terms of the intangibles, in terms of that mindset to win, at this point, I don't think LeBron James is where Michael Jordan's at. LeBron James probably isn't even where Kobe Bryant is at when it comes to that. He's really not. He's not Kobe yet, and he's definitely not Michael yet. He's not Kobe or Michael yet in terms of that killer mentality. Yes, he had a big series against the Boston Celtics, scored the final 10 points in that Game 5 victory. Yes, he had a big series against the Chicago Bulls, did some great things in those series to pull the Miami Heat through. And now in the NBA Finals, he's kind of taking a back seat to Dwayne Wade. And, you know, a lot of people will criticize him and everything, but you also have to look at it this way. Dwayne Wade is a superstar, too. He's a superstar, too, just as much as LeBron James is a superstar. And you can make an argument that Dwayne Wade's a better player than LeBron James. So sometimes it could be very difficult. And when you have all that talent, Bosh, LeBron, and D. Wade, sometimes some players have to take a back seat. Sometimes players have to take a back seat. And when you look at LeBron James, I mean, the thing about it is the bullseye is on LeBron James. When he sat down with Jim Gray and made the decision, the bullseye has been on him ever since then. When he made the decision to take his talents to South Beach, the bullseye was placed squarely on the chest of LeBron James. The bullseye was placed squarely on the chest of LeBron James. So once he made that decision, once he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, from that point on, everybody has been looking at LeBron James. Every move he makes, every move this whole team has made, everything that this whole team says, everything is scrutinized. You got to get out the microscope. The microscope is on this ball club. They're on this ball club. And it's championship or bust for the Miami Heat. Championship or bust. That's it. Championship or bust. And then that's the bottom line. It is championship or bust. And in a lot of ways, Dirk Nowitzki is under similar pressure, but not the same type of pressure. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki, and it was funny. I'm watching that game yesterday, very funny in watching that game. And Dwayne Wade had an opportunity to tie the game with a free throw. He had an opportunity to tie the game. He missed it. It was very reminiscent of a Game 3 with the Miami Heat. Game 3, Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks back in 2006. Dirk Nowitzki had a free throw to tie the game late in the game. And that was the game Dwayne Wade went crazy in that fourth quarter and brought the Miami Heat back and ultimately brought the Miami Heat the series. I mean, that game was a big game. The Dallas Mavericks were on the verge of going up 3-0, and Dwayne Wade went crazy. And ultimately, that led to Dwayne Wade becoming the MVP of that series. But you look at it now, the roles were reversed. Dwayne Wade had an opportunity to tie the game, and he missed it. He missed the free throw. And again, it was very reminiscent. It was ironic. Ironically enough, 2006 and Game 4, back in 2006 in game three, Dirk Nowitzki had a same opportunity to tie the game, and he missed it. Similarly, and you go back, Dwayne Wade had the same opportunity yesterday. And it's funny. It's very funny how this game of basketball works and how the basketball gods are moving up there in the sky. But Dwayne Wade had an opportunity yesterday to tie the game, and he missed it. 2006, rewind. Dirk Nowitzki, same opportunity. He missed it, and that was in game three. So in both situations, if Dwayne Wade makes that free throw, the game is tied, and who knows what happens. If Dirk Nowitzki makes that free throw back in 2006 in game three, the game is tied. Who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? But it's funny how basketball works, but we're going to a game five. We're going to a game five. And it is going to be – this has been a great series. Every game other than game one has pretty much come down to the last possession. Come down to the last possession, and very easily, if you look back through the series, the Heat could be up 3-0. This could be 3-0. This could be 3-1. It really could. If you really look at it, and looking at it again, the Heat actually could have swept this series. They very easily could have swept this series. They won game one convincingly. They won game two. They should have won game two. They were 15 points with 7 minutes left. They let that one slip away. They came back and won game three. And they could have won game four, and they had a golden opportunity, especially with Dirk Nowitzki under the weather. And Dirk Nowitzki, obviously, his jumper was a little off. His shot was a little off yesterday, definitely a little off, 6-for-19 from the field. He was off yesterday. But it was that fourth-quarter magic, that Dirk Nowitzki fourth-quarter magic that he's been working throughout this season and throughout these playoffs, that fourth-quarter magic, that tough drive off the window, got by Udonis Haslem, and ultimately the Dallas Mavericks went up 3 there, and they held on to win the game, and now it is 2-2. This is going to be very interesting, folks. It's going to be very interesting. The ratings are up for this final, and I'm looking forward to game five, and I can't wait. Again, I had the Dallas Mavericks winning this series in six, and I had the Dallas Mavericks ultimately winning tomorrow, and ultimately winning in South Beach. I said six initially, but it might be seven. But we'll see what happens. And I'm not going to go back on them. I made my prediction. It's going to go six with the Dallas Mavericks winning. But if I was going to go back on my prediction, it probably would be game seven, a seven-game series with the Miami Heat losing to the Dallas Mavericks in that seventh game. That's the way I would see it. And if that were to happen, LeBron James would get killed. He would absolutely get killed if that was the case. He would get killed. Game seven on your home court in the NBA Finals, and you choked it up. And it may not even be your fault, but guess what? The bullseye is on your back. And it's been on your back ever since you made the decision. I want to move to the NFL now and the lockout, day 85. Long, long lockout. It's been going on for a while now. But right now, the NFL and the NFLPA, which I think this is excellent news, are in secret meetings in Times Square, New York City. They're in meetings. They're talking. Both sides are at the table. And that's all you want. That's all you want. You want the teams, everybody at the table. You want the owners and the players talking. You want people talking. You definitely want people talking, and that's a good thing. If you're talking, at least you're talking. Doesn't mean that you're making progress. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Doesn't mean the lockout will be ending anytime soon, but it's a start. It's a start. It's definitely a start, and it's important that these guys are sitting down and talking. I think it's very important. I think it's very important that these guys are sitting down and talking. How much progress, we'll see. Again, these are secret meetings. But, again, they are talking, and that is a great thing. This is tiresome. Again, this is getting old. But it is what it is in a lot of ways. But the NFL lockout, they're talking, at least, people, and that's a great thing. They are talking. They're talking. They're definitely talking. And hopefully through this talking, something could happen. Something could happen. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. switching gears now to Terrell Pryor. He made official yesterday. He is not coming back to Ohio State. Right now, he could be eligible for the supplemental draft. So, I mean, maybe go there. There are talks that right now he is he has spoken to a team in Canada. So we'll see what happens there. And we'll see if he can make that happen for himself. But, you know, the whole thing with Terrell Pryor, I mean, the Ohio State program has been pretty much a dirty program for a long time now. All these different things are coming up, tattoos for memorabilia, all these different things. You know, tattoos for jerseys, tattoos for autographs, tattoos for this, that, and what have you. And, you know, Terrell Pryor's been driving a nice little car, driving around with a nice little car. And last I checked, he didn't get paid in college. But, again, the whole system, the whole NCAA is dirty. The whole thing needs some cleaning up. And hopefully they can do something about it. But, I mean, it doesn't excuse what Terrell Pryor did at all. It doesn't excuse what he did. What he did obviously was wrong. It obviously was wrong. But at the same time, he's no different than anybody else who's done some things, Reggie Bush and a few other guys who have done things that obviously are illegal. But again, people do what they got to do sometimes. And, you know, Terrell Pryor doesn't come from a lot of money. And the reality is, you know, if you're out there, if you see your coaches getting paid, you see the university getting paid, and you're the only one, and you're the one who's helping to put butts in the seats, and you're the one that's helping make money for the university. Granted, you get a scholarship, but you see everybody else making money but you. Again, it doesn't make it right. It definitely does not make it right, but I understand. I truly understand. Again, it does not make it right. Let me be clear about that. It doesn't make it right. But by golly, I understand Terrell Pryor. I understand. I really do understand. I understand. You got to do what you got to do and what you felt was right. But it's not right. It's not right. But let's not throw stones at Terrell Pryor. A lot of people are doing it. The whole system is corrupt. The system is corrupt. It really is, and it's backwards. I mean, and a lot, you got guys who are the guys who are help make the money, but at the same time, these guys are not the ones who are getting the money. The university's getting the money. The coaches are getting the money. Everybody else but the people who put the butts in the seat, and that is the players. That is the players. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, the NCAA and its players is the ultimate pimp-prostitute relationship. It's the ultimate pimp-prostitute relationship. That's what it is. Hopefully, again, I don't know if paying the players is the right thing, and I don't know how they would make that happen. I don't know. But something needs to be done. Something truly needs to be done, and they got to fix the system. Otherwise, you're going to hear more stories like Terrell Pryor, like Reggie Bush. You're going to hear more of these type of stories until they do something about it. Until they do something about this whole situation, you will be hearing about these type of stories. Again, what Terrell Pryor did, it goes against the rules of the NCAA. I understand Terrell, everybody else is getting paid. What you did was wrong, but I understand, Terrell. I understand why you did it. It was wrong, but I understand. And I might even give you a pass. But then again, who am I? But I'm going to give you a pass here. I might even give you a pass for what happened there. Let's bring in now former NFL star, the great Isaac Keys. Isaac, how are you, sir?
What's going on, Paul? How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Doing all right. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while, man, but it's always a pleasure when I get to come on the show. So I appreciate you having
definitely,
me.
Definitely, definitely. Isaac, the NFL lockout is going on, day 85. They are secretly negotiating, so they say. As a former player, what's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Man, it seems like they should be able to, I have a lot of mix-up, but as a player, of course, I'm on the player side all the way, no doubt about it, and I believe it's going to get done. And, of course, when it comes to the media aspect, they have to make it, a little bigger than what it necessarily is. Even though it is a major issue, I just know the media, they have to, the more they bring, the more they talk about it, the more everybody else gets in an influx about what's going on. But we're talking billions and millions, and we're talking about the number one sport in the world, number one watch sport, the number one sport as far as revenue in the world. So it's going to get something that's going to be done. But I'm pulling for the players to really get done because, now being a former player, and even when I was a player, it's about taking care of the former players as well as the players. And it trickles all the way down to, like you were just speaking on, the Terrell Pryor and college thing. These guys have to get ready to go to the NFL at some point. But as you can see, it becomes a much of a business. Before, it was just a business in the NFL. But as you can see, it's a business in college now, even more so than what we thought before.
Right. As a former player, what kind of stuff are you looking for?
As a former player, mainly continuing health benefits, because right now, I'm going through, the process of being a former player. A lot of players, when you get through playing, you start going into your disability cases, things of that nature. Or, your health insurance lasts for, 3 years after you stop playing, once you retire. But I think it should go on longer because you think about it, a lot of the injuries that I've sustained playing, whether they, I thought they were injuries then or not, will start to really wear and tear on me. And that's what they call it. They call it wear and tear on your body. I'm 33 years old, just turned 33, but I'm wondering why my knees are aching so bad while I'm sitting in the movie theater watching the movie, or why my wrist is hurting, why my back is hurting, all these different things that I know have accumulated from playing football all over the years, especially in the NFL mainly, is that, we need to be sustained for those type of things.
And those bumps and bruises that you mentioned, I mean, is it really tough for you to get out of bed at times?
At times, let's just say this, it's noticeable. Compared to the average person, a person that may have not, played in the NFL or played sports as long as I have, or any other player, most injuries I just ignore because that's all I've done my whole life. I've ignored injuries, anything, because you don't play hurt. I mean, you always play hurt, but I'm just saying you don't bring that type of thing up. And you're with amongst a fraternity of players that are the same way. So, of course, to a normal person to get out of bed, they may trip off with this thing, ankle hurt, but I usually ignore it. But now that I'm out and I'm not playing anymore, it's like I see my feet hurt, my toes hurt. Different things, and it's not a complaining aspect. It's just like, I know what I signed up for, but it still doesn't mean that I shouldn't be acknowledged after playing and after giving that much, especially how much revenue has been made over the years, not just about me, but everybody. And I'm talking about players before me. That's what it's all about. It's about the players that are before me and the players that are coming that are with me and the players that are coming after me. And it's about sustaining and taking care of those players.
Now, Isaac, your career is over now, but the money that you made in the NFL, at this point, have you spent all your NFL money?
At this point, I'm not going to sit here and say I spent all my NFL money. I wish I would have made a lot more playing, but at this point it is, it becomes more of an, let's see how to put it. It's more noticeable, but it's also become more of an issue of monitoring your money and, making the proper adjustments. There's no reason, I'm not into having a real fancy car and rims and all those type of things and jewelry. I just want to be able to have something, the necessities, and feel like I can go on with my life and continue to do so. So it's just, it's a maturity aspect, but it's also about just, making sure everything is running smoothly.
Now, Isaac, you've been around NFL players. Do you think these guys have really prepared themselves financially for this lockout?
No, I don't think they have. I mean, some guys have, but it's really the younger players. Older players that have longevity have had a chance to, you know, sit down with their financial advisor and say, okay, out of this contract year, we're going to take half of the salary, and this other half is what you're going to live off of. So they see, you know, they had a chance to do it. But the players that were rookies last year, even second and third year players, and when I'm talking about these players, I'm talking about the guys that are undrafted, that didn't get the big signing bonus, that didn't get, you know, because that's the main thing. You see, the guys that got drafted in the top round have signing bonuses they can live off of. So, you know, they can help them through this lockout. But guys who were undrafted free agents came in, made the team, they made league minimum. Even the guys that were on practice squad are in the reserve. Some of their salaries are reduced because the practice squad are in reserve. They have a split in their contract. So those are the players right now that are suffering. Because I remember my first year as a free agent, I didn't get any signing bonus. I was just making, you know, when I was in training camp, I was like, man, the mental exhaustion and the physical pain that I was going through that first year, I was going to get a 9-to-5 and I go through this because I didn't see the money. I didn't see any money. You know, so after that, once you see it, then you get a taste for it, then you're like, okay, yeah, but in off season, I was like, this is a long off season not to be getting paid any money, especially, you know, if you get paid that much during the season. So that's who are really being affected. And I'm glad to hear a lot of veteran players are reaching out and talking to these younger players and helping them out where they can. But that's the situation because you think, I'm in the NFL. Why am I going to have to go over here and get this job? Like, why do I have to get this job right now? Because it's locked up. And I'm telling you, that's what's going through a lot of the young players' minds right now.
And again, like you said, you didn't make the big-time money in the NFL. But did you at any point in your NFL career get caught up in the money, the clothes, and the hoes?
I like how you put it all together. I think I got a little caught up in all that, but I had a good support group. And I'm going to say the money's the clothes and the hoes. Yeah, let's just say I indulged in a little bit of all that, but I had a great support group, and I had you know, people backing me. What did happen towards the latter part of my career, and I'm not ashamed to say that, is that I got it caught up in the real estate game, the business side of it. And the latter part of it was right when the big boom, and I trusted people who I thought had my best interests in that. But you know what? They did, but you can't control certain things when it comes to business. You know, I had a total of probably 5 houses. One house was my primary house and 3 other houses. And, you know, some of them were high-end houses and things that, you know, I thought were going to take place didn't necessarily take place in the order they should have. So, therefore, that kind of left me in a situation toward the latter part of my career, which is the worst time, where, you know, put me in a situation where I didn't want to be in and plan for. So, you know, and it's just, you know, it's life. You got your ups and downs. I don't care who you are. You know, you have your ups and downs, and it's about how you react. And football has prepared me to react to getting knocked down and hit and getting back up and dusting myself off and getting back in the game. And that's what I've done in my life.
And speaking of that, last year around this time, Isaac, you were vying for the affection of one Omarosa. Lucky for you, you did not win. But looking back on it, how would you rate that experience?
Oh, man, it was a great experience. Being on the Donald Trump ultimate merger, as you say, pursuing the love of Omarosa was a great experience because it was something similar and also totally different than coming from the game of football. And, you know, it was an experience where I honestly am so proud to be able to show who I am from up under the helmet. People, you know, if they didn't know me from football, they started to relate to me, to my personality and how I carry myself. And, it, you know, it's so humbling when I'm out at an event or during an event and people, and it's not just women. You know, the women are my main following demographic, and I love the ladies for everything that they have, you know, attributed to me for my career. But when a male comes up to me and say, "Hey, man, I love the way you handled yourself on that show. I love, man, the way you stood up for yourself and you respectful, and I love the way you handled everything on that show." That's to me, you know, because it's hard. You know, guys, we don't really walk up and give credit where credit is due to another guy most of the time. You know,
right.
So. That's, you know, that shows me a lot, and that's what I really appreciate from those type of things because, you know, football, you know, people are, you know, we have a lot of fans, and they're fans because they're a little team, but this was more of a personal aspect. They knew who I was, not just, you know, because I scored a touchdown or I hit somebody.
And did you find that you got more, you're more known for the ultimate merger than for your NFL career?
Honestly, yeah, no doubt. I mean, an NFL career now is a conversation starter and attention getter, but from the show and from commercials and from different things of that nature, I've kind of been known more for that because I don't have a helmet on. And, you know, we talked about before, I consider myself a blue-collar worker in football. I was a blue-collar worker. You know, I wasn't the spokesperson. I was the guy that was doing all the work in the factory and was, you know, coming up from there, you know, so
with that being said, you know, now that from up under the helmet, it helped and contributed to the transition now into entertainment and to being known more for that.
Right. And do you still keep in touch with any of the guys, or have you seen even Omarosa herself?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we all keep in touch. We, you know, spending that much time with one another and kind of going through it was like, you know, I related back to football. It was like, you know, it's like you're going through somewhat of an adverse situation, something that you're not used to, put it that way. So when you share that with somebody, you know, you kind of create bonds with them. So I still talk to them. I just had a birthday that passed this Sunday on the 6th. But I share this
birthday
month with Albie Shore. Thank you. I share this month with Albie Shore, whose birthday was on the 4th. So he's actually having a gathering tonight. You know, and him and some other guys with Gemini, Ray Lavender, Charles Parker, they were all Geminis as well in the month of June. So we share that. But also, you know, we all supportive of each other's endeavors because what we were all curious about was what was going to happen after the show and how was everybody going to use it to their advantage just to continue to keep the train going, especially when you didn't find love with Omarosa.
Right. Are you open to any type of any more reality TV?
I'm entertaining, you know, everything right now. I'm not going to say, you know, that I would not do any more reality TV. I will say that I don't want to be known as a reality star, because what you notice now on TV is, you know, most reality stars, when they create this character of themselves, I was blessed to just be me, so I didn't have to create a character, and people like who I was. A lot of people don't like who some people are, so they create a character that can carry them on through more reality TV, and when they create that character, their family and friends are back home like, that's not who they are. I don't know that person. You know, because they have to create that character to, you know, to continue that career. And I don't want to be somebody who I'm not for the camera.
Right.
You know, unless I'm playing a role. I'll be a convict. I'll be anything you want me to be when on camera for a role, for a film, or for a sitcom, but not something that is considered reality, that is supposedly considered to be me all the time, and it's not.
Right. We're talking to Isaac Keys, former NFL star, and a man who's an actor now and doing a lot of great things with that. Isaac, you've been very busy, music videos, theater, all different types of things. How has Isaac Keys, the actor, improved during this last year?
Wow, that's a great question. I believe I improved tremendously just as far as being, you know, life's going to throw you a lot of different, you know, curveballs. And just being able to adapt to those curveballs, hit a base hit here and there, a double, triple, even a home run, I think that's how I've adapted a lot. But as far as an actor, I've grown so much more characteristically, just as far as being able to relate to different characters, be able to adapt to these scripts that are being handed to me. I'm also doing a lot with McDonald's now as their McCafe spokesperson, and I'll actually be in Norfolk, Virginia at the end of this month for the Jazz Festival, actually promoting the Essence Festival, where we'll be honoring the cafe man that I actually picked from hundreds of applicants to be honored and announced by McDonald's, this Essence Festival. So it's like I'm just being able to kind of open the doors. The doors are starting to kind of open, but I'm, you know, really putting my foot in there so they don't close. And just kind of really just growing. I've grown so much. You know, just as a person, and just being homing in on my craft.
And growth is truly a great thing. And I see you're doing things with a project called The Therapist. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was, you know, actually, you know, as when you get into acting, you it's so frustrating because you're looking for project to project, and you're waiting on somebody to hand you one of these projects, and you're going to these auditions, and you kill the audition, but you still may not just quite fit what they're looking for. Even though you killed the audition and everything, you may just be a little too old to play a 22-year-old or things of that nature.
Right.
So a friend of mine, and Gino Brooks, who's the director and writer of The Therapist, he wrote this out of some life experiences of his own and others that he knew. And you know, he was like, Ivy, I want you to play this role, and I want you to play the lead. I know you'll kill it. And we decided to make it into like more of a web series. So we shot 8 episodes. I mean, we went in, and this is something that we put together ourselves, and that's a great big shout-out to Gino Brooks and Sook and everybody in the cast and everybody who's involved in it, and we've just been really kind of, you know, just kind of giving teasers about it on Facebook, Twitter, and all the social networking and just try to make it our own. And that's what I'm so proud about, is that we made this. You know, it wasn't waiting on somebody else to say, give us the go-ahead. We made this. And it's something that I'm very happy about, and I can't wait to get through post-production to actually see, you know, everything come together and manifest to a good show. You know, we're going to try to see what's the best route for the web series, whether, you know, we shop it as a short, whatever. But the biggest thing is we made it.
Right. And that's a great thing. We're talking to Isaac Keys, former NFL star. And Isaac, like we said last year, you were vying for the affection of Omarosa. A lot of ladies want to know at this point, are you a single man?
At this point, yes, ladies, I am a single man. And, you know, I'm looking for that person that really just kind of, you know, comes to my life, and I know it's definitive. You know, until then,
right.
You know, I'm just living life, and I'm enjoying life, and everything that is bringing to me, good and bad. But I'm looking for someone to be my partner, my team player. Stay with me. We work it out. We get it all together. But, you know, just somebody you feel definitive about. You get a lot of people coming
right.
to your life that are just like, you know, they're good people, and I'm going to enjoy the moment, but it's not always definitive.
Right.
That's why I'm at,
so,
Paul. That's why I'm at, Paul.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are 33 years old at this point, still a young man,
mm-hmm.
but on the other side of young on some level. I mean, when do you envision yourself finally settling down?
Man, first of all, Paul, you know, my Hollywood age is 25, so, you know, you got to have a Hollywood age. You have a real
age. Okay,
my
bad. 25.
Hollywood. So, but you know what? I don't really think it. I've learned, you know, man, that it's not about when I envision selling down. It's about when it just happens. And, you know, I just put that in God's hands. The spirit inside of me says,
right.
you know what? I'm over trying to figure out what happened. Because if that was the case, when I was 16 or 12, when me and my sister would sit down and plan out our whole lives, I would have been married with 3 kids already by now and just living that life. But
right.
that didn't happen. So, you know, I just leave it in the hands of God and life, and just let that part just come. But, you know, they say the fastest way to make God laugh is to make plans, right? So,
definitely, definitely.
Let's see.
Hypothetically speaking, if Omarosa was to ask you on a date today, would you go out with her?
Yeah. I'm glad when I'm wrong, you asked me on a date today. Yeah.
Okay.
You said a date,
okay.
right? You said a date, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A date that could lead to, you know, love.
Wait a minute, Paul. Hold on. I ain't never seen one date lead to love. I don't know about that,
well,
Paul.
They say you know when you meet the person, you know.
Oh,
fairly.
I did say definitive, right? I would go on a date when I'm wrong, so she should ask me on a date. And because I'm wrong, so I consider her. You know, we have a relationship as far as, you know, we keep in touch. I wish her well
right.
and everything she's doing in her love life and everything like that. So a date would not be an issue whatsoever for us to go out on.
Definitely.
Whether we're compatible or not, I'm not necessarily sure, because I believe it's timing and where you are in your life at that point. It's not
right.
always about the person. Sometimes it's just timing. But, you know, she's a beautiful person.
And
mm-hmm.
on this show, Isaac, we play a game called Who's Better? I'll give you 2 topics. You tell me which one is better. You ready to play?
I'm ready to play. Let's go.
Better looking, Megan Good or Omarosa?
Paul, you something else. We'll go with Megan Good.
Okay. I would agree with you right there. Better
okay.
looking. Michael Clark Duncan or Isaac Keys?
Well, man, they always told me, man, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody will believe in you. So we're going to go with Isaac Keys on that one.
Okay.
I believe in me, Team Isaac.
Better place to meet a woman, the club where I met my wife, or the church?
You know what? I'm gonna say the club, because I feel like you get the true essence of who that person is. I'm tired of church. People kind of hide behind some things, man.
Like I said, I met my wife in the club. Ideally, I would rather have met her in the church, but it is what it is. Things happen.
But, you know, there's some good songs out there, man. You know, people get to dancing to them. You know, you get to see.
Jump to imagination.
Better linebacker.
I'm not opposed to the church, man. Church is a great place.
I'm done. Church is an excellent place. Excellent place. Make sure you go to church each and every Sunday.
Yeah. Great hallelujah. Place. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Better linebacker, Lawrence Taylor or Isaac Keys?
Man, you know, that's a tough decision. Lawrence Taylor, man. Lawrence Taylor. Now, better Good Samaritan, Isaac Keys or Lawrence Taylor? Isaac Keys.
LT got some issues with that. LT has some issues. Let's just leave it at that. Just leave it at that. And a bonus question.
Oh, I like bonus questions. Okay.
Better place to meet a woman? The corner or the supermarket? In honor of LT.
Well, it depends on what's on that corner, Paul. You know, what's on that corner that she's on. Because sometimes you go to the supermarket real late at night in Atlanta, you mess around and get the girl that's working at the corner anyway. So it depends.
That's a good point. That's a great point you bring up.
It depends on what's on that corner. But, you know, I'm going to go to the supermarket just to be safe on this one. Supermarket.
Okay. And I would agree with you. Isaac, where can we find out information? Where can we find all the information about Isaac Keys?
Hey, that's what I appreciate. I'm glad you asked. Isaac Keys, you can find everything on Facebook, Isaac Keys, Facebook.com, all that good stuff, Twitter, at Isaac Keys. Also, my website, IsaacKeys.com. You can go on there and check some things out on there. And get on me. If I'm not updating the way I need to, y'all make sure y'all get on me on there. But, yeah, you can leave me a message on there, and I'm just going to continue to, you know, try to make everyone, you know, happy, give them stuff to look for, and continue to come on to the Paul Grant show, that's for sure. Talk Radio.
Gant.
Well, you must have misspelled in my email then, Gant. Email me? Okay. My bad. My man, regardless, 20 grand.
So, Isaac, like you say, you're 33 years old. You had a birthday the other day. How was this birthday celebration?
Well, I'm a strong believer in celebrating each birthday. So this year, you know, I just invited some friends and family out, and we kind of celebrated watching the basketball game on this past Sunday, the day before my birthday. Watched the basketball game and just kind of enjoyed fellowship and laugh, drink, had a good time. And that's what I believe in. But, you know, I celebrate the whole month. So it's continuing to go down. I'll be in Phoenix this weekend, hosting a party at a club called Jackrabbit out there in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you're out there, come check me out.
Hey, you might even find love out in that club.
Hey, that's what we're talking for, love in the club. They made a song about it. It's got to be true, right? Look, they made a song about it. It's got to be true.
That's what they say. That's exactly what they say. Who you got in the series, in the NBA Finals?
Boy, that's a tough one. You know what? After everything that's been going on, it's like I'm two-sided. I got Miami in the series, but I'm two-sided. Because Dirk and Jason Kidd, I would love for y'all to get the ring. Jason Terry, but y'all got to work for it. And then Miami Heat, I'm looking here, like all the grief and all the turmoil that they've been through this whole year, for them to be in the finals is exemplifying. So I kind of want them so then I can see LeBron kind of pretty much give the finger to all the people that pretty much kind of hated on him throughout the course. So,
right.
You know, but I got heat, man. Let's go for it. It's more exciting in Miami anyway.
There you have it. Isaac Keys has the Miami Heat winning this series. Isaac, we appreciate you stopping by, sir. Always welcome back. Make sure you come on back, and good luck with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul Gant. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, man. You keep doing you, bro, because you're doing a good positive thing right now, and I love to come on the show. And I appreciate you having
it,
sir. Me, man. Thanks a lot.
Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you.
Isaac Keys, former NFL player. Also, we remember Isaac from the Ultimate Merger last season on TV1. And Isaac, you know, the guy out there doing some great things, acting and getting himself out there, and that's always a good thing, keeping himself busy, which is also and always a great thing. We're going to be joined shortly by Basketball Wives 3-star Mika Claxton. And Mika is going to talk about the show Basketball Wives 3. It's a very popular show. Everybody watches it. Everybody and their mother, at least everybody I know. And but it's a popular show, and Mika's going to talk about it. I mean, if you saw the first episode, Mika kind of came off as somewhat of a troublemaker in that show, during that first episode, but she's going to set the record straight for all of us. She's going to set the record straight for all of us, and it's going to be a pleasure to talk to her. The second hour of Go For It starts now. Forward is going on right now. Again, we were just joined by Isaac Keys. Make sure you check him out. Follow him on Twitter at Isaac Keys. And also, we're also joined by, in the first hour, Mr. DeMarcus Van Dyke. And make sure you check out Mocha Moms, Mothers of College Athletes. And again, that's mochamoms.org. Make sure you check out that website. DeMarcus's mom, is a part of that great organization, and that organization is doing some great, great things. Make sure you check it out, mochamoms.org, and also check it out, isaackeys.com. So make sure you follow those guys on Twitter, and make sure you support those guys and all that they do. And DeMarcus Van Dyke actually is on Twitter, D_Van Dyke 8. On Twitter, so make sure you follow him on Twitter and support, again, what his mother's doing with the Mocha Moms. And make sure you go to that website, mochamoms.org. Final half hour, go for it. Again, we're going to be joined by Miss Mika Claxton. And right now, she is on Basketball Wives and Basketball Wives 3. It's hot, it's heavy, it's crazy, and a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on with that show. If you like drama, you're going to like that show. And that show comes on each and every Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern time on VH1. So, if you like drama, you will like Basketball Wives 3. Because there is a lot of drama. But Mika Claxton will be joining us very, very shortly. And also, I want to switch gears real quickly now to the NBA. And there's been a couple proposed trades with concerning Andre Iguodala from the Philadelphia 76ers. One trade had Iguodala. I'm a Sixers fan. This is a trade I like. Iguodala going to the Golden State Warriors for Monte Ellis. I don't know what's going on with that at this point, but, I mean, there's been speculation that may happen. And also there's another trade coming out today where you have the Sixers and the Clippers discussing a trade where Andre Iguodala would go to the Clippers for center Chris Kaman. And Chris Kaman, again, the Sixers do need some size. They do need a big man. So Chris Kaman would not be a bad situation for the Philadelphia 76ers. Injury prone at times. Chris Kaman definitely can be injury prone at times. But, I mean, I think it would be, it would be an upgrade for the 76ers. It definitely would be an upgrade for the 76ers. But if it was up to me, I'd rather take Ellis for Iguodala instead of Kaman for Iguodala. That would be my preference. We'll see what happens with that whole situation. But right now, the Sixers are in the process of being sold. So we'll see what happens. But again, if it was my preference, I would take in that situation. I would love to have Monte Ellis for Andre Iguodala. That would be my presence. That would be my preference, if it was going to happen. We're going to be joined shortly now by Mika Claxton. Let's bring Mika in now. We are now being joined by Basketball Wives 3-star Miss Mika Claxton. Mika, how are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to be on.
And great to have you. And Mika, I got to be honest, in that first episode, you kind of came off as a troublemaker. Say it ain't so, Mika.
Listen, I'm telling you, it seemed like that to me if I didn't know myself either. But you know what? I'm definitely not a troublemaker. I think they needed a troublemaker, and maybe I was, made to look like one. And that's fine. I mean, this is what I signed up for. I guess I was kind of upset at first, but you can't be mad. It's TV. It's made for entertainment. So, you know, let's entertain.
And the funny thing about two scenes, there you had lunch with Royce, and then you had dinner with the other girls. How different? What actually happened? I mean, we know what we saw on TV,
yes.
But what really happened?
See, I'm glad you asked. You know, when I went into brunch with Royce, I was very apprehensive, and I made it very clear, you know, she being a dancer that crossed the lines. You know, she's one of those girls that come and pinch the cheeks of your kids, and you're supposed to trust them. You know, that's one of the rules. Don't, you know, cross the lines. Don't even fraternize with the players. But she answered questions, and she didn't owe me anything. She was very cool. She was cute and bubbly. It was very hard not to like her. So if you saw in the end, we toasted. We toasted to keeping it real with each other and, you know, just giving each other a chance. And that's what I left there saying that I was going to do. You know, after that,
nice.
I went, had I was invited to dinner by Shawnee and the girls, wanted me to meet Evelyn. And first and foremost, of course, I was supposed to tell them how brunch with Royce went. And initially
right.
I was just like, you know, it went really well. I was surprised. And this is all the stuff that you guys don't see. But I told them,
right.
I said, you know, it went really well. I felt like I really wanted not to like her because of who she is. And I felt like I was consorting with the enemy, which is what you heard. But it was hard because I liked her. She was cute and bubbly.
Right.
You know, and you didn't hear all that, did you? And but, you know, I'm not mad. Like I say, you know, I told them, you know, she was so sweet, and it was just hard because I was confused about why nobody likes her, you know? And
right.
then they went off and gave me their reasons, and, you know, I just had to listen. That was it. And then, you know, questions were asked about, you know, does she have on these knee-high Converses and making fun of her? And I just said, no, her shoes are cute. And honestly, I really was just covering my own behind because I wasn't too sure.
Right.
I was just, you know, hey, I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me. So it came off as, you know, a little stank, but it was actually just being, like, jokey, like, yeah, her shoes are actually cute, but don't quote me, people. And that was really for the people outside of the, you know, behind the cameras. Like, just don't quote
right.
me because I'm not sure. But, you know, she was cute and bubbly, and I was just trying to just stay neutral. But it's funny how people can make something out of nothing. So I'm scared to see when there really is something how they can spin that, you know?
Definitely. I mean, and we saw the last two seasons of Basketball Wives, lots of drama, lots of craziness. I mean, you're a businesswoman. You have
yes.
your own real estate company.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to be a part of this?
Actually, that's a beautiful question. I really did not want to be a part of this for a long time. Friends kept telling me, you should do it and show that, you know, there are wives that are, well, real wives, first of all, that are not catty and that, you know, really just like to have a good time and enjoy their families and, you know, are building their brand. And that's what I was doing. And I just said, no, I don't think they want that, you know. But when it came to me this time from a mutual friend of Shawnee and myself, I said, you know what? Maybe the world is ready to see a real wife that's not about the drama, not about all that stuff, you know. I'm from the
right.
hood, but I'm not a hood rat, you know. I'm just taking care of my family. You know, I was just helping my daughter with homework. I'm a real mom. I'm, you know, 100% dedicated to my family and my business. And I thought that that's what the goal was to show and to portray and to, you know, just let the world see. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not sure about that anymore.
We're talking to Mika Claxton, one of the stars of Basketball Wives 3, airs on VH1. And Mika, watching some of the previews, it's very obvious you get into it with Tammy. What's up with you and Tammy?
You know what? I want everybody to stay tuned. This is just a very explosive season. I tried to stay away from all the drama because that's really not me. You know, that's what I was saying before. I'm not a drama girl. I like to have a great time and enjoy my friends and my family. So I really try to stay away from it. There's times when you'll see things happening to me and I'm breathing, and inside of my head I'm saying, woosah, woosah. Like, you know, I'm trying to relax because the old me, the one without the kids and the husband, would have just flipped out. But then
right.
I'm just, you know, trying to be, you know, this woman. I'm very conscious of the cameras there rolling, and, you know, I'm just trying to, like, be an example. But then you know, there comes a point, too, when you just, oh, my gosh, you can't even take it anymore, you know. But
right.
I did see a lot of that, and I had to come back. And like you said, from the previews, my husband even, you know, saw a lot of that online at first when it all, you know, leaked. And he was just like, you know, you're becoming one of these girls. Don't do it. You know, you're a businesswoman. Remember what you went there to show. And so from that moment on, I just brought it back. And I said, you know, it's not about being, you know, meek or mild or being any kind of punk. It's just I'm not that girl anymore. I'm not a hood
right.
rat. I'm just a mom and a wife and a businesswoman. And I'm not going to let myself be taken out of character again. So you'll definitely see a lot. It's a great show for entertainment. And I just hope that people realize that, you know, a lot of fans take it very serious. And it's just
right.
so, you know.
And definitely, I mean, it's reality TV, but how real is reality TV? That's another discussion for another day. But you're married to former NBA star Speedy Claxton. How, I mean, when you brought this to Speedy, talking about wanting to be on Basketball Wise, was he cool with it?
No, but I think that I wasn't cool at first, you know, so I think he saw that in my face, like, why do you want to even bring that up? You don't even seem like you're 100% in. But when we thought about it, and we both talked about it, and, you know, talked about it with my mom, too, and they were just saying, oh, yeah, you know, show that there are girls not trying to fight everybody and girls that are just, you know, out there trying to support each other. You know, I'm definitely all about supporting the other wives, the other girls. The first thing when I went down there, I didn't take a lot. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go support Evelyn Shoe Store, and that's what I did. I'm going to go support, you know, the fellow girl, the woman, you know, that's what I'm all about. So it's funny
right.
how things, you know, I definitely wanted to find out about Jen's business and, you know, throw support that way in the city that she's working in. I wanted to tell people about that. That's all I'm about. And so after a lot of talking, maybe about a week of constantly talking, we thought about it and just said, you know what, let's do it and just stay away from the drama, because that's what I thought I could do, honestly.
Right. And I think it's kind of hard to stay away from the drama, because in a lot of ways the show kind of sets up the drama.
I wish you were there to – I really honestly wish you right now were there to help me with that, because I honestly didn't realize that things, you know, could happen like what you were about to say. I really
right.
just thought that I could just stay away from it and just, you know, keep doing me, because you shot a lot of me working and things like that, which I'm surprised isn't even being shown. So – you know, it is what it is.
That
I
might
had a good experience
end up
shooting on a cutting room floor.
Yes,
but
basically.
You know what? I definitely enjoyed the experience of shooting. It was my first time in front of the camera. And, outside of acting, like, I've done a little of that, like, in college and stuff like that. But, you
right.
know, it was my first time really putting myself out there. And I enjoyed it. It didn't feel at the time like anything negative. You know, I got over things with Roy. She and I talk about everything, and we're cool. So it was just weird how things were spun way out of control. Like, I was just
right.
a backstabber when she and I actually did speak, and I confronted her, and she talks to me. She's a great girl. So I hope you guys
right.
get to see, you know, what a good season it is.
And like we said, you are married to former NBA star Speedy Claxton.
Yes.
How'd you and Speedy meet?
Speedy and I met in college, when he played with the Flying Dutchman at Hofstra University. I was the new girl on campus. So he and I met, and we were friends for a long time, and we dated off and on, but pretty much we didn't really start dating like that until about 7 years ago. We had started having kids and everything like that, got married
right.
5 years ago. So it's been cool. I mean, he's definitely a good dude, so I can't complain.
And being that Speedy was an NBA player, and being that these NBA players, they go from city to city, and they have ladies throwing themselves at them, you know, I mean, it's not very hard for them if they really wanted to do it. As a wife, how difficult was that for you?
Well, it's so hard because especially when I only had one little girl, so about 7 years ago, up until maybe about five, I traveled a lot with him. And I would see it. I see it all the time, you know. And sometimes you see the same faces city to city. So it's kind of like
right.
they're trying to, like, grab the attention of these guys. It is very hard, but you have to come to a point in your relationship where you're kind of secure and you know where you two are. And I think when he and I got back together, like I said, we spent time apart, you know, before having the kids and everything. And when we got back together, I think we were solid. We knew what we wanted. So at that point, I was good. So we've been good since. And I, like I said, it's tough, and you have to definitely, you know, be a secure person. But it's hard. I think the hardest part for me actually became when I had another baby, and it's like I'm a single mom, and he's traveling. I wasn't thinking about the other girls throwing themselves at him. I'm thinking about, can somebody help me push the stroller, carry the other baby? Like, can somebody help me out? I need help. So I have so much respect for single moms that do it every day without any kind of reprieve. I so do. It's hard.
And we talked about the chicken heads, the birds, and all the hoes that are out there on the road for the basketball players. But I want to go to the basketball wives. Do basketball wives truly act the way we see them act on this show? Or is this a misrepresentation?
That's so funny. That's so funny. Let's just say I haven't seen any yet. You know, so I haven't seen any that do. So, you know, and I think you got to remember, too, we're seeing only 2 minutes of, you know, maybe 1 week every week.
Right.
We're not seeing, we're, you know, shooting for 3 months. So you don't see the real person a lot of times. You know, people ask me, is Evelyn really a bitch? And I'm like, not from what I've seen. I mean, what I've seen is she was actually nice. But who knows, because I see she's talking, so I don't know. So I don't really know. You know, you just see 2 minutes of somebody, and you really don't know them. So, and I just urge people to remember that. You know, I don't know what they're like off camera. So, who knows?
After what we saw in episode one and after what we may see tonight with all the editing and all and everything, and it's still early, but do you think you would do this again?
Honestly, I don't know what we're going to see tonight, so I'm giving them one more chance. Please, please, please show the real me. The one that, you know, yeah, I get mad, but then after that I confront situations and I, you know, I talk. I'm a grown woman. I want to talk about things. I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to do all that. So hopefully they show the real me or close enough to it, because I understand it is TV and we want some kind of drama. But I definitely am giving them a chance because I do have hope and I have faith in people. But after the first, you know, first episode, I was a little disappointed, you know. So I definitely at that point was like, heck no, would never. But I'm thinking, like I said, it's what I signed up for, and that's what I remembered, and that's what I realized now. So I can't be mad at them. I'm not. I enjoyed myself. So I think that I would just give it more time. That's what I would do.
Right.
Give more time so that I can see. And hopefully they portray me, the businesswoman, the mommy, you know, the wife, a little bit more closer to reality. But I just urge people to follow me on Twitter and get to know the real me. So, you know.
And what's your Twitter?
Oh, my Twitter is my name, Mika Claxton, M-E-E-K-A Claxton. So follow me and you'll definitely get to know the real me 24 hours a day.
You're not involved in this, but what is your take on the whole Evelyn and Tammy thing, the non-mother effing factor T-shirt stuff? I mean, do you think Evelyn should sell the shirt?
You know, I really don't have an opinion about it because I learned now to stay out of people's business and to mind my own. I really did.
Right.
But, you know, I hope that those two ladies as grown women can resolve it. You know, I really do.
Right.
Because it's just a shame. You know, I think they were cool at one point. So hopefully they can fix that. And I don't think it's coming from a place of trying to hurt Tammy at all. Like, I understood her point when I saw the first episode, because I wasn't there for that when she was talking about it, but I understood her point of just, you know, the saying took on a life of its own. She doesn't even think about it as far as Tammy's concerned anymore. So hopefully Tammy can see that and they can get past it. I really do hope so. We're grown women, man.
And you would hope so, definitely. And you're a part owner of a real estate company. Tell us about that.
Yes, I am co-owner of Allure Realty Group. We are headquartered in Atlanta, where we initially only dealt with athletes and high-end real estate. And the reason why we dealt with athletes is because that's what I know, relocations and flying in and out of cities, helping them when they're actually on the court. I'm helping sometimes the wife, the girlfriend, or sometimes I'm just previewing on my own. So I make the job a lot easier for them. You know, they sometimes aren't even there for closing, and I have the place set up for them. Then we decided to take it to the military, and they have been embracing this services for the last year. They love it, so and we love helping the military, so that's been great. And now we decided to open the relocation doors, you know, well, our first-class services to the public. You know, any price point, what we do is help to relocate you. And, you know, like I said, we're based in Atlanta, but we do have a second office in Central Georgia, and that office handles global relocations. And we definitely are great at what we do, and it's first-class service no matter your price point. So you'll always get a callback. You know those realtors that never call back? We're not one of them.
And what's the website? You got a website?
Yes, we do. We have a website. It is www.allurerealtygroup.com.
Okay, allurerealtygroup.com. So make sure you check
it
out.
Yeah, we help a lot of people. It's really, it's been a blessing.
And Mika, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I give you two topics. You tell me who's better.
Okay, out of the
you ready to play?
Out of who, me or my husband?
Out of anything.
Okay.
You'll see. Better show, Real Housewives of Atlanta or Basketball Wives?
Basketball Wives, definitely, because I'm on it.
Better borough in New York City, Brooklyn
Queens.
Or Queens?
No question, Queens. I don't even have to hear the options. I'm a Queens girl, sorry.
Better looking, Boris Kodjo or Speedy Claxton?
My husband, I got to rock with it. But I love Boris, too.
And lastly, better business owner, Evelyn with Dolce or you with Allure Realty?
Me. but she's again, definitely great shoes.
What's your Twitter again so everybody knows?
Yes, follow me on Twitter and get to know the real me no matter what. My Twitter is at Mika Claxton. That's MEEKACLAXTON. And talk to me.
There you have it. Make sure you follow her. Get to know the real Mika.
Yes, yes.
Because apparently what we see on TV is not real.
So far.
So make sure you get to. So far. Make sure you get to know the real Mika. Mika, it was a pleasure talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with the show.
Thank you so much.
Nothing but the best of luck with your businesses. And nothing but the best of luck with your marriage.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Seriously.
Mika Claxton. And again, Basketball Wives 3. You can see and all the drama each and every Monday on VH1, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Check it out. You see the drama with Evelyn, Tammy, Mika, Royce, Shawnee, Jennifer, and the rest of the girls. Basketball Wives 3, VH1, each and every Monday, 8 o'clock. Check it out. Don't call it a comeback, but Floyd Mayweather, he's back. Floyd Mayweather, September 17th, will be going up against the newly crowned WBC welterweight champion, Vicious Victor Ortiz, and that's, again, it's going to take place Mexican Independence Day weekend, which is always a big fight weekend. And that's going to be Victor Ortiz, he's a guy with some speed, a guy with power, and we saw his power against Andre Berto, and he's a southpaw. And I remember this was during the Berto Ortiz fight. I was on Twitter, and Bernard Hopkins had something interesting to say on Twitter. And basically, what Bernard Hopkins' tweet was pretty much was saying that Mayweather was pretty much scouting Ortiz. And lo and behold, a few months later, the fight has been made. No location yet, but more than likely it will be in Las Vegas. And again, you know, I'm a Floyd guy. I enjoy watching Floyd Mayweather fight. I enjoy the whole Floyd thing, the talking, the swagger, and all things that come with the great Floyd Mayweather. And you know, Floyd Mayweather, he is undefeated, 41-0. And again, the fight that all boxing fans want to see, the fight that everybody wants to see, is obviously against Pacquiao. That's the obvious opponent that we want to see. For Floyd Mayweather. But we're going to have to wait for that. Will it ever happen? I hope so. But right now, we got to wait. And I'm willing to wait. But ultimately, I want to see this fight happen. Pacquiao will be facing Marquez. So hopefully those two will get by what they need to, you know, do what they need to do, beat the fighters that they need to fight, and ultimately get in the ring at some point. I guess you figure with Pacquiao from Mayweather fighting in September, more than likely it's probably going to be a 2012 situation with these two getting into the ring. But Floyd Mayweather, this is going to be a fight that's going to be interesting, I think. I mean, I think Floyd is the favorite, obviously, but Victor Ortiz, again, is a guy with power and a guy with speed. And, you know, last time, I mean, Floyd got into it, got in the ring with a Zab Judah, a southpaw. Victor Ortiz is a southpaw. And Zab Judah gave Floyd some problems early in that fight. Floyd adjusted like Floyd always seems to do, and he just basically cruised from there. And I guess the Shane Mosley fight is very similar fight in a lot of ways. Shane Mosley had an opportunity to have Floyd stunned there in that round, and Floyd did what Floyd does. From there, Floyd just took apart Shane Mosley from that point on. But again, Floyd Mayweather, Victor Ortiz is going to be a good fight. It's going to be pay-per-view. And guess what? I will be buying. I could be a sucker, but I will be buying that fight. I mean, it's a great fight. It's going to be a good fight, and it's going to be good to see Floyd Mayweather back and get Floyd Mayweather. I mean, it's going to be good to see the guy active again. I mean, it's good to get Floyd Mayweather in the ring. You know, you hear about all the stuff with the with all his out of the ring situations, some of the legal issues that he's going through right now. But at the end of the day, Floyd Mayweather belongs in the ring. He belongs beating whoever he needs to beat. And ultimately, he belongs fighting Manny Pacquiao. Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao need to get this thing on at some point. And you look at it, Mayweather and Ortiz, they will be doing U.S. Olympic-style drug testing. Ortiz has agreed upon it. So that won't be a problem. And hopefully, you know, that won't be a problem with Manny Pacquiao when that time comes, if that time ever comes. But that is the fight that everybody wants to see. But Ortiz and Mayweather is going to be a good fight. It's going to be a good fight. And if you watch that fight against Shane Mosley, Mayweather opened up a little more than he usually does. He opened up a little more in that particular fight. So we'll see what happens in that fight. Just like every fight, Mayweather puts a clinic on in terms of defense. The guy becomes unhittable at times, and the guy just pot shots you and does what he does. Floyd Mayweather obviously is a great fighter. And everybody wants to see Floyd Mayweather do what Floyd Mayweather does, and that is fight. We want to see the man fight and in the ring. He's a great talker. He's a great showman. And he's good for the sport of boxing. And it's great. And I'm happy to have him back. And Victor Ortiz, a guy who learned a lot from that loss against Marcos Maidana, learned a whole lot about himself in that fight. And apparently he rebounded very well. And that was a war with him and Andre Berta. That was a great, entertaining fight. A great, entertaining fight. So hopefully we'll have a great, entertaining fight. Mayweather, Ortiz, September 17th. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully Floyd wins so we can finally see Mayweather Pacquiao. Please, fellas, check the egos and let's get this thing on. We want to thank Mika Claxton for stopping by. Make sure you follow her on Twitter, at Mika Claxton. Follow her on Twitter. Support all the things that she's doing. Also, we want to thank DeMarcus Van Dyke for stopping by. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, D_VanDyke8. And also make sure you support MochaMoms.org. Make sure you check it out. It's a great organization. Support it. DeMarcus's mom is a part of the organization. So make sure you support it and make sure you check it out. Again, it's mochamoms.org. And also Isaac Keys. Make sure you go to isaackeys.com and make sure you follow him on Twitter at Isaac Keys. Make sure you follow me and follow this show on Twitter at Go4Again. And again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgain. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgain, where you can listen to this show and other shows. For everybody behind the scenes, we want to thank you and want to thank everybody for listening. Again, we'll see you next week. See you later. Hope you have a great week. Bye!